Welcome back. Well, the 26th edition of the Investing in African Mining in Durban is currently in play and policy uncertainty still remains. Peter Leon, co-chair and partner at Herbert Smith Freehills, raises questions around potentially unlawful provisions of the Mining Charter 3 and shortcomings of the draft upstream Petroleum Resources Development Bill as well. Mineral Resources and Energy Minister Gwede Mantashe, in the meantime, says they've been receiving positive comments on that bill, and Peter joins us on the line with more of the detail and his views. Peter, thanks so much for joining us today. We'll get into the detail of some of that regulatory uncertainty that persists. But right at the top, we seem to have had the energy crisis in South Africa dominate the minister's address today. And I guess apt, where one cannot talk about optimizing growth and investment in South Africa when you've got an unstable supply of power standing as one of the biggest risks to the sector and the economy. How have you rated his address today?
Well, look, on that score, I'd say the minister's comments were pretty positive because he actually spent a lot of time dealing with the energy crisis. But what he said didn't entirely add up. But basically, what he said in the conference, and he went into more detail in the media conference afterwards, that basically mining companies and anyone else can generate as much energy as they like. Of course, what he didn't mention is they can't put that back into the grid until the Electricity Act is amended. But, you know, if that were so simple, one has to question why the City of Cape Town has taken the Department of Energy and the government to court over their ability or inability to generate their own power. So I think things are not quite as simple as the minister made out, and indeed the Deputy Director General of Energy indicated that in the media conference afterwards. But look, on the positive side, I think it was a plus that he dealt with the energy crisis head on, because that obviously is a huge issue for the mining industry, not least the fact that energy costs have gone up by something like 500% in the last 12 years, and that's a huge cost for the mining industry to bear. And, you know, they are price takers, because obviously, you know, minerals are an international commodity and they're set by global commodity prices. So yeah, the extent to which local prices increase, commodity prices don't increase, that creates a real dilemma for the local industry.
Yeah. There was also talk, Peter, of investors being engaged with in order to start generating a company outside of Eskom. I mean, where do things stand on that front? Is there any clarity on what exactly are we looking at here? Because the headlines we're reading on this side seem to point to an introduction of competition into the sector, against an Eskom.
Yeah, well, that would be a very welcome development. I must say, I didn't think the minister was very clear about that point. He did seem to indicate it would be some sort of public-private partnership. But the fact is, Alicia, that as you well know, in Eskom at the moment, the model is it's a state monopoly. It has been since it was established, I think, in the 1920s. And we're dealing with a very antiquated economic model where it is it has the monopoly ability to generate electricity and to distribute that electricity throughout the country. And obviously, there have been proposals about breaking up the model, but nobody's yet suggested that there would be real competition brought into the sector. So the extent to which the minister's now saying that there would be competition through another electricity generator, which would have the private sector involved in it, I think that's a step in the right direction. But the detail was very vague.
Absolutely. And whether or not there's been engagement with the Department of Public Enterprises on this and whether that matters, another question altogether. Do you get a sense, having said all of this, Peter, that there is a greater understanding of what it's going to take to turn mining production declines around?
Yeah, well, that's of course another issue, and he did, you know, in fairness, in his speech, indicate that mining production declined by about 3.5% in the last quarter last year, and things were not looking all that favourable. But then the question that I would really pose to him and to the government is, you know, what is the government doing to sort of turbocharge the industry? And as you said in your introduction, I mean, one of the issues is still the degree of regulatory uncertainty bedeviling the industry. The one issue he didn't raise was the challenge to the Mining Charter 3 by the Minerals Council, which seems to have gone into abeyance, and what that's going to do. And then, as you also indicated in the introduction, these new pieces of legislation, like the Upstream Petroleum Bill and the amendment to the Mining Code regulations.
Peter, as you say, he touched on the Upstream Petroleum Resources Development Bill that was gazetted in 2019. How much clarity did that really bring with it?
Well, that's a real issue, because obviously you had this huge discovery at the beginning of last year off the Southern Cape, the Brulpadda discovery by Total, which is about $1 billion of gas condensate, which is a form of petroleum. And if that sort of is turned into production, that could be a game changer for South Africa. But I have to say that the draft legislation, which the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy produced, this Upstream Petroleum Bill, is a bit of a curate's egg. The bill is really, to some extent, a cut and paste from the Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Act. They've simply transplanted a lot of the provisions relating to mining into an oil and gas context, which doesn't really work, because the obviously oil and gas is a very different sector from mining, and a lot of the production rights that have been granted are all offshore rather than onshore. So I think a lot more work needs to be done on that. I think South Africa should be taking a leaf out of Mozambique's book with a bespoke petroleum legislation, which we don't seem to have. And I think the bill that the department has produced, which came out just on Christmas Eve, needs a lot more work, especially around the fiscal provisions.
Yeah. With this regulatory uncertainty still very much in play, Peter, how much is this still holding back investment in South Africa's mining sector by your gauge?
Well, it is, because I mean the real test of the regulatory uncertainty had ended, Alicia, then you'd be seeing lots of greenfield investment coming to the South African mining industry. That's simply not happening. That we have not seen major new mining projects happen over the last year. The minister correctly pointed to the fact that exploration expenditure was still very low. He'd like to see it increase, and clearly, when there is more regulatory certainty, you'll have more money spent on exploration, you'll have more money spent on new mining projects, and until you see that happening, the regulatory uncertainty is still there. I mean, one must give credit where it's due. He's done things that his predecessor did not do, like withdrawing the MPRDA Amendment Bill and finalising the mining charter, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done.
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there. Thanks so much, Peter, for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, co-chair and partner at Herbert Smith Freehills, Peter Leon.